Sri Yudha Padakamalam, Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakan Vitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhya Evacha, Patitanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapallava Girivaradhari Je Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana
Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana
Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaranjana Yamuna Thira Panachari
Yamuna Thira Panachari
Yamuna Thira Panachari Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radharamana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radharamana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala 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 Jaya Jaya
Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radhara Mana Hari
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Sri Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Radha Damana Hati Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radha
Damana Hati Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radhara Mana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is my profound honor and pleasure to be with you this evening. It was proclaimed by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu that tonight is the 150th Prerna Festival. Over approximately 15 years, at least 10 every year, equals 150. It is a beautiful offering because it shows the power of consistency. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Yapashayatmaka Budhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushaka Yanantascha Udhayob Yapashayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute is many-branched. a very inseparable aspect of determination is consistency. Our beloved guru and founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he was especially grateful and pleased with dedication, with being able to depend on devotees to follow their path according to their abilities. Because everyone in this world has their strengths and weaknesses. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryubhashate tesham nitya vyuktanam yogakshemam vahamya. Krishna tells in Gita that if we endeavor in a mood of taking shelter of him, then Krishna will preserve whatever little we have and carry what we lack. So that is an essential aspect of bhakti, is we, with consistency, with dependability, we honestly, we earnestly try our best. If we're too good at what we do, we can become proud and begin to think, I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor and enjoyer. When we become infatuated by this false pride, then we're disconnected from Krishna's grace. And then whatever we do is relatively empty. It's a show. It appears, maybe to some, to be something very great, very spiritual. But unless Krishna's pleased, his potency, his presence, his grace is not present. Samsidhirhaditoshanam. Bhakti is the science of pleasing Krishna. When Krishna's pleased, he manifests his will through us. Krishna is all attractive. That is the meaning of Krishna. He's supremely attractive. He has all six opulences forever in its total fullness: beauty, strength, knowledge, wealth, fame, and renunciation. If anyone in this world has a little speck of a trace of these excellences, they become very famous, very popular, very attractive. Here in Mumbai, so many people are trying to be attractive and trying to be attracted. Yes? Even the most famous newspapers of, you don't usually see old people being featured. People are attracted to youth, to beauty. People are attracted to power, strength, political power, athletic power, wealth. These are the heroes of the world. Just day before yesterday was the disappearance day of Sri Rupa Goswami. because Krishna teaches the world through his most close associates. Rupa Goswami, what was his values? He and his brother Sanatan, they had so much beauty. Their physical features were like unlike anyone in this world. They were so attractive. And they were young. As far as their power, one was the prime minister of an entire kingdom. The other was the home and finance minister. As far as wealth, the king shared all the property of the kingdom with these two brothers. What they were earning was unbelievable. They had huge properties. They lived in palaces, not flats. Not bungalows. Palaces. And whatever they would advise the king would be very receptive. And as far as their knowledge, people from all different directions would come whenever they would speak. They developed an assembly hall, a beautiful assembly hall, and created cottages, nice little homes for all the scholars, pundits, saints, and general people that would come. They would host them. They would have these symposiums based on philosophy, scripture, the greatest scholars of the whole area would come. Everyone would present, but no one could compare in the knowledge, the compassion, the humility of Rupa and Sanatan. And yet they were so respectful to everyone. Chaitanya Das, who was the father of Srinivasacharya, told his son when he was a little boy that he went to Ramakeli with his guru once to one of these conferences that was hosted by Rupa and Sanatan. He said they were effulgent. They were as beautiful as Kamadev. And when they spoke, they would mesmerize everyone with their knowledge, their insight, their realizations. But yet they were so humble. They welcomed everyone. And they were in the mood of being the sincere, humble servants, just trying to please everyone. Because realized knowledge is expressed according to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we see the presence of God within the heart of every living being. Mamaivamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Krishna tells every living being is part of me. The Paramatma is in the heart of everyone. And the individual jiva is Krishna's child. To the degree we actually love Krishna, which is the true fruit of all knowledge, to that degree we recognize Krishna in everyone's heart. A child of Krishna. So Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were multi-billionaires in wealth. They were young, strong, beautiful, incredibly powerful and famous, and so learned. Yet, they humbly respected every living being. because they actually had realized the truth. Krishna tells in Gita that when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are in me, of me, and mine. So they had everything. They were loved, they were respected. Even apparent enemies, their hearts melted before them. But yet, when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understood his mission, they decided to leave everything and go to Vrindavan. And they did. Rupa Goswami just told Sanatan, "I'm going," along with our brother Anupam. And Sanatan said, "I can't really leave now because I have some responsibilities to the king I must fulfill." So Sanatan, because he was planning to go, the king put him in prison. One day he's the prime minister. The next day he's in an underground dungeon. And in those days, the prisons, he was literally chained to the wall. It's very savage. The idea was to intimidate him to get him to surrender. But he was surrendered to a higher cause, a higher purpose. And therefore he took the prison sentence as a blessing. It was a confirmation that I don't belong here. And somehow or other, with the help of Rupa Goswami, he escaped. Now he's gone from the prime minister to a convict. He's hiding. He's traveling through jungles until he reaches Vrindavan. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur offered this beautiful prayer. Grihe tako bhanne tako sata hari bole tako suke duke bulo nako padne hari nam koro re. You can be a grihastha, living with a wife, a husband, a family, working in an occupation, having a home. Or you can be a Goswami, living in the forest, or traveling around, or living in an ashram. But if you truly take shelter of the holy names of Krishna, by Krishna's grace, you will rise above all the happiness and the distress of this world, the dualities. The example of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami has been as much an inspiration to grihasthas, to family-oriented devotees, as it has been to sannyasis, brahmacharis, and sadhus. Because the lesson we learn for them is, what was their values? And we can assimilate these values in whatever particular field of life we're in. Samsudhiyata haditoshana. What will please the Supreme Lord? When Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Rupa and Sanatana, when they left everything behind to live in simple loincloths in the forests of Vrindavan, they gave up their palaces to live under trees, in the river banks and in the jungles. They gave up their fine foods to beg Madhukar house to house. And in Vrindavan in those days, they were very simple villagers. Get so much when you beg from them. Here in Mumbai, sometimes begging could be a very high level. You know, you beg these big office buildings, Nariman Point. First you have to meet, you get through the security guards, then you meet the secretaries, then you have an appointment. And you should not going there to get some chipped rice. Usually going to get something very sizable. But in Vrindavan, they were just simple people. They could give some chipped rice or some... They didn't even have chipped rice in Vrindavan in those days. Some roti flour. Sanatan Goswami, he would beg and get some coarse ground wheat flour. There were no mills. It was just ground by hand by the Brijavasis with two pieces of stone. Just grind between the stones. And he'd mix a little water from the river Yamuna, make a ball, and put it in fire. And that was his food. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he came to one Brahmin's house whose name was Kurma. And he was actually a very wealthy person. And Lord Chaitanya was so eagerly served by him and welcomed by him. And after Kurma washed his feet and literally offered his whole family to Lord Chaitanya, his wife, his children, he said, "My whole family, all my forefathers and foremothers, everyone, my wealth, my fame, my knowledge, everything has attained its perfection today because you have come to bless our home. And you have come to accept to our service." Then he said, "The waves of this ocean of material existence are causing me too much distress. I have decided I will leave my home and I will follow you wherever you go." He was really willing and ready to go. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he was traveling barefoot. In his South Indian tour, he never stopped in one place except for during Chaturmasi and Sriranga for more than a day or two. His only possessions was his japamala and an extra set of clothes and a begging pot. Water pot. He said, "I'm going with you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "There's no need for you to go. You should stay with your family. You should continue your occupation. But always chant the holy names of Krishna. Hear the glories of Krishna and speak the message of Krishna to whoever you meet. And in this way, you will always be with me and I will always be with you." They spoke about Krishna all night, and the next morning Lord Chaitanya left. And Kurma just couldn't give up his association. He went with him. Lord Chaitanya sent him back home. So to Kurma Brahman, he sent him back home. To Rupa and Sanatan, they left home and went to Vrindavan. But the values of both were identical. They were both doing the will of the Lord by keeping Krishna in the center of their lives. They were not motivated by greed, by lust, by envy, by anger. They were motivated by seva, to serve, for the pleasure of Krishna. They lived for the well-being of others. The six Goswamis were not just concerned with their own liberation. They were writing so many books. They were building so many beautiful temples. It wasn't for them. Radha Govinda Temple, Rupa Goswami didn't even live there. Even after building the most magnificent temple in all of North India, he still slept under trees. He built the temples for you and for me, for the well-being of the Para Upakar, for the well-being of all beings. Madan Mohan Temple was built by Sanatan Goswami for us. They went to Vrindavan to be instruments of Lord Chaitanya's compassion for all beings throughout the world. They were excavating holy places. They didn't need to do that. Krishna was revealing to them the holy places. They could just be happy being there, but they were excavating so people from all over the world, for all time to come, could actually experience Krishna's pastimes in a very special way. Para Upakar. And similarly, Kurma Brahman. Lord Chaitanya told him, just chant the holy names of Krishna and speak this message of Bhagavad Gita, of Harinam Sankirtan to others. And be guru. And he did. With his wife, with his children, with his parents, as a grihastha. They had the same values. These are the examples that are given to us. When this morning we were speaking from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, therein we find Krishna arranged by his own inconceivable will a way in which the Yadu dynasty, his own family, was going to depart from this world. It is explained that at that time, after Krishna already arranged this curse of Brahmins upon the Yadu dynasty, Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and various devas, demigods, they came to Dwarka to see Krishna's personal form. And they prayed to him. They said, "We prayed to you to come to this world to relieve the burden of so many demoniac kings. We pray that you would reestablish the true principles of religion. And you have done all that. And not only that, but you have performed such wonderful transcendental pastimes that anyone in the coming Kali Yuga and forevermore that simply remembers these pastimes, speaks about these pastimes, hear these pastimes, and glorifies you and your names
will attain the ultimate liberation. So you have done everything according to your mission. Now please, my Lord, if it pleases you, go back to your eternal abode. You've done everything. Thank you. After they left, Uddhava, Krishna's dearest friend in Dwarka, his constant associate, he came and bowed his head at Krishna's lotus feet because he could see everything that was happening. Uddhava could understand that Krishna had just before, he saw there were so many inauspicious signs that were arranged by Krishna. He told the members of the Yadu dynasty, you should all go to Prabhaskshetra. It's a very holy place. Whoever goes there becomes purified. So there's so many inauspicious things. You've all been cursed, so you should go there and do some yajnas. So they were all on their way. And Uddhava could see everything that was about to happen. He was in a mood of such urgency. His whole dynasty and family, they were about to start fighting with each other. He didn't want to see that. And even worse, Krishna was going to leave this world. He didn't want to be in this world without Krishna. He was begging Krishna, if you're going to leave, take me with you. I just want to go back home, back to Godhead with you. I don't want to be in this miserable world without you. The only value of this world is in your loving service. It was in this state where Uddhava, like Arjuna was in a very, very difficult situation. He saw two armies of relatives about to be fighting with each other. He didn't want to be a part of it. Karpanya dosopa hatasvabhava. He approached Krishna in a state of great desperation. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. He approached Sukadev Goswami in a great sense of urgency. And here Uddhava, he was in more urgency than both of them because he loved Krishna so much. He was with Krishna day and night, and now Krishna's going to leave the world to be left behind. He was begging Krishna for direction, for kindness. And in that state, Krishna spoke the Uddhava Gita. Krishna sent Uddhava to Badrikashram. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna was thinking, I lived in Vrindavan and reciprocated love with all my devotees there, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, the calves, all the kalpavriksha trees, the peacocks, everyone. We had the most beautiful, intimate leelas together. And I lived in Mathura and Dwarka. I went to Mithila. I went to Kurukshetra. I lived in Dwarka. I went and visited Mahavishnu. I met Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra. So many things, so many places. He said, but in Badrikashram there were our great devotees, Paramhamsas who have been longing for my association. But now it's time for me to leave, and I haven't yet gone there to satisfy their desires. So he instructed Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, surcharged him with his grace, with his love, and with his knowledge, and told him, you go to Bhadrikasha. Because when one associates with those devotees who love me, who hear the knowledge of my devotees, they are directly in my association. Krishna gave Uddhava something even more than going back to Godhead. He gave him a service by which he could please Krishna. Service and separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his dearmost friends, Lokanath Goswami, along with Rupa and Sanatan, they wanted so much to be with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, you stay in Vrindavan because that's where you could serve me the best. And they never saw him again directly. The wives of the yogic Brahmins, when they came, they surrendered everything. They left their families to bring prasad to Krishna and Balaram. And when they saw the beauty of Krishna, he was just on bank of Yamuna in a little clearing in the forest. His complexion was dark like a monsoon rain cloud. His clothes were brilliant gold like lightning. He had a wonderful garland of wild flowers and leaves that extended below his knees. There were minerals of the ground of Vrindavan that were decorating the various limbs of his body. His wonderful, beautiful hair was curling around his moon-like cheeks. His lips were like the bimba fruit. His eyes were like fully blossomed lotus petals. One of his arms was leaning upon the shoulder of a gopa, one of his friends. And his other hand was twirling a lotus flower. Draped over his ears were fragrant lilies, flowers. When they saw the beautiful form of Krishna, they took that rupa through their eyes into their hearts, the very core of their hearts. And there in the core of their hearts, Krishna was embracing them and they were embracing Krishna. While they were just standing a little distance away. Amazing, because they never met Krishna, they never saw him before. But when they would go to buy flowers or fruits at the market, the Brijavasis who happened to come there to sell their goods, they were always talking about Krishna, about his pastimes, about the beauty of his form, his character, his qualities, his loving, smiling relationship with devotees. Just by hearing about Krishna, they surrendered their lives to him. And that surrender, its spirit is to serve. Whatever they did for Krishna's satisfaction. And here Krishna's reciprocating. He sent his little friends to say, Krishna's nearby. And they came running with everything good that they had to offer him. And Krishna welcomed them with such a sweet smile of love. He said, it is very appropriate. You've surrendered everything. You've left everything to come to me. But you have your duties at home, so you should go home. After all, your husbands are doing yajnas. They need your help. And what will people say? They were brokenhearted. Why do you want to send us home? You promised that you give your devotees all shelter when they surrender. We have surrendered everything for you. They won't even let us back. Krishna said, they will let you back. But please know, and he's speaking not only to them, but to all people at all times, it's not by physical proximity with me that you develop love for me. It's by pleasing me. By hearing my glories, my pastimes, by chanting my names, by worshiping the deities, by meditating upon me. Practicing this path of bhakti in separation, that is how you will fully attain. I will give the highest love, and you will feel my presence always. They were so humble. They were pleading, we won't even be with you directly. You have wonderful, loving pastimes with gopis and your friends. It will just be a little distance away. And the tulsi leaves that are upon your lotus feet, when they fall from your feet and they're trampled down by the gopis and gopas, we will collect them and keep them on our heads. And we will just serve you from a distance. This was their mode of service. They didn't want they're the wives of the highest gurus, the Brahmins of the area. But they're longing just for even the most menial opportunity to serve. Krishna taught them real services to please me. And I'll be pleased if you go home and assist your families very nicely. And they did. And they attained the same type of perfection that the gopis did too. Of course, the gopis got to dance all night with Krishna, but they had to go home also. Krishna reciprocates with the sincerity of our intentions. The path of bhakti is to fully immerse ourselves in remembrance of Krishna. As Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, he wanted to give an example. How on this journey within, on the path of life, as we become absorbed in seeking to please Krishna, to know Krishna, to love Krishna, Krishna reveals himself in so many ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was grihastha. His son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, was crest jewel of sannyasis. But they were both perfectly situated as acharyas, teaching the world how to love Krishna perfectly. Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains. That some people, when they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, they hear it, they learn it, they memorize it, but there's no transformation in their lives. And other people, they don't have faith. They don't accept it. They don't even want to hear it. Actual hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not meant to memorize. It's meant to reflect. Whatever we learn, it transforms our values. Where we rise above all selfishness, all greed, all false sense of proprietorship. We don't want to be famous. We don't want to become wealthy. We don't want to just know. We want to serve. We want to love. That's what it means to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And real service requires a spirit of continuity. For a pujari on the altar, Krishna's depending on us to come at the right time, to dress him, to bathe him, to feed him. He doesn't need us, because ultimately whatever we're giving, we're getting from him. But he's assuming that role for our benefit. And Srila Prabhupada, one of the qualities that he appreciated most, and this is a quality that all greats, spiritual teachers, mentors value so dearly, is when our service is dependable and there's continuity in good times and hard times. That's how we actually make spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada told, our spiritual progress is dependent upon how we take responsibility in our service to Krishna. Responsibility is like that. A responsible father, a responsible mother, a responsible guru, a responsible disciple. Their service is not based on the conditions around them. Matras parashastu konte asitos na sukadukada agama payanonya kyastams tatikshas paparita. May be cold, it may be hot. May be pleasure or pain, success or failure, easy or difficult. But we remain fixed in the path of trying to serve when our sadhana is dependable, when our service to the mission is dependable, when our Vaishnava qualities are consistent, even when there's temptation or fear, honor or dishonor. That's what it means to take responsibility. That's what really pleases Krishna. So many of you are students here in this great city of Mumbai, where there are many distractions, many alternatives. But we learn from Rupa Sanatan Goswami, from the Kurma Brahman, we learn from Uddhava, we learn from the Brahmin's wives, we learn from each other. What are the values that we should live for? What are the values that we should integrate and harmonize in every aspect of our lives? Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. What is the goal? It is important in the association of devotees through sadhu sangha, satsang, that we develop faith that there is a true goal in life. And I'm not this body. I'm the eternal soul. Krishna told Uddhava we could learn this from the moon. The moon is waxing and waning. There's Amavasya, which we call no moon or dark moon. There's quarter moon, half moon, three quarter moon, Purnima, full moon. But actually, the moon is always full. It's not that the moon is changing. It's our perception of the moon that's changing. According to reflections on it, it appears different. So similarly, the soul is always eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. The soul is always part of Krishna. But the appearance is we're born, we're babies, we're children, we're teenagers, we get married, start having children, then we have grandchildren, then we're getting old, and then we die. It's like Amavasya. Doesn't appear there's any moon that night. First we're dead. But actually, we're still a full moon. We're still fully alive. As much as we were when we were born and when we were dancing at Radha Gopinath Temple as teenagers in Prerna. So we are the eternal soul. And what is the jiva dharma? What is the true dharma of the soul? Bhaktya tvananya shakyam aham evam vidurjana. The true dharma of the soul is to render loving service to the Supreme Soul. Savai pungsang paro dharma yato bhaktir hoksha jaya haitakiya pratihata yagatma supraseded. The supreme dharma, the highest religion, the highest spiritual path, the highest occupation, is to render loving service to the transcendent Lord within our hearts, within the hearts of all living beings. Who is the one God, who is the supreme source of everything that exists. Janmajasayata. And to serve with love. So prerna, it has many different aspects. There's videos, there's kirtans, there's all sorts of different speakers. Some make you laugh, some make you cry. Some make you sleep. Yeah. Sometime you get an incredible feast with gulab jamuns and halwa and sabjis and puris. Sometimes you get khichdi. The purpose of prana is to help young people in ages where, at an age where we're really naturally looking for where we want our life to go, to establish our lives in this true Sanatana Dharma, the true Dharma of the soul. Yes, I am the eternal soul. Jivera Swarupoi Krishneta Nityadas. My nature is to eternally love Krishna and to serve Krishna in whatever we do, wherever I am, whoever we're with. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And in this age of Kali, an ocean of faults, there's this great benediction that we could always be connected with Krishna by hearing about Him and by chanting His glories and His names. Such a benediction. Whether we're riding on a bus or a train or we're walking or we're in our office or we're at our home or we're in the ashram, whether it's the heat of the summer, the humidity of the monsoons or the freezing colds of the winter, wherever we may be, Krishna is in our heart, waiting to reveal Himself to us. And He's giving Himself especially in His holy names. So please, it is our sincere request. Live for the well-being of others. Receive the mercy of the Supreme, of Sri Krishna. Through your association, through your spiritual practice, and whatever your occupation may be, whatever your varna or ashram may be, reflect the grace of Krishna that you're receiving for the well-being of others. And that is truly the path of joy. A joy that is not determined by the ever-changing circumstances of this world. A joy that is beyond this temporary body and mind, beyond death. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, for such a brilliant talk, taking us into the depths of the philosophy and then really bringing out some amazing jewels which really will transform the hearts of all the assembled students and the youth here. Let us express our heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for this amazing presentation by loudly chanting. So if there are any questions, we'll have now question-answer session. Can please raise your hand and we'll send the mic across.
Hare Krishna Maharaj Ji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Maharaj Ji, sometimes because of easy availability of services, devotional services and association of devotees, sometimes we take it like Krishna consciousness and Krishna granted and chanting also. So how can we be steady on this Krishna conscious path and take Krishna consciousness seriously?
Nasta prayeshya patreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. It is important that we're reminded regularly, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in the association of devotees, or in our own homes by reading these transcendental literatures, hearing tapes. It reminds us of the dangers of material existence. It reminds us, padam padam yadvipadam natesham, that actually crisis, death could come upon anyone at any moment. But our tendency is to take everything valuable for granted. But if we're hearing regularly and we're reminded of how important it really is, how urgent it is, then we will not take it for granted. It is important we cultivate a spirit of gratitude and appreciation. Taking things for granted comes when we lose our spirit of gratitude. If you're starving and someone gives you some water and food, you're really grateful. Srila Prabhupada taught us it's important that we understand the nature of material existence. Actually, material existence, or Maya, is a state of consciousness. The world is not Maya. The world is Krishna's energy and Krishna's property to be used in Krishna's service. Maya is when we forget that. When we forget anything's relationship with Krishna or how it could be used in Krishna's service, that consciousness is Maya. Then we're perceiving things in a material way. But when we wake up to the reality, the truth, we understand everything is Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's property. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Everything is spiritual. If we just recognize Krishna in it. So it's important through our sadhana, through our hearing and chanting, through our association, and through our cultivation of this spirit of gratitude, that we really learn to see Krishna. We learn to remember Krishna in everything. Otherwise, yes, we see the things in this world as material. We see our own, and we even see the practice of Krishna consciousness as material. We see devotees in a material way. We see the deities in a material way. We hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in a material way. We have to learn to guard against offending devotees, because if we do that, Krishna withdraws his presence in our life. And we start to say, Ramchandrapuri saw Lord Chaitanya in a material way. Shishupal saw Krishna in a material way.
because they were ungrateful. Hiranyaksha saw Varaha in a material way. Hiranyakashipu saw Narasingadeva in a material way. But little Prahlad and Maharaj Yudhisthira and all these, they saw Krishna in a spiritual way because they were always eager to serve. So we should be consistent and we should be faithful. Through our sadhana, through our association, and through our discipline of maintaining a good service attitude, and as we make spiritual progress, even with the tests and trials and tribulations, Krishna will help us. Otherwise, this is a very common danger. We take Krishna consciousness for granted. We take Krishna's mercy for granted. We take the beautiful gifts that Krishna gives us for granted. Prerna, this wonderful festival, 150 sessions today, just to remind people of the wonderful gift that we've received. So that when we go out, we're a little surcharged with that remembrance, with that appreciation. Is there another question?
Hello. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. So my question is that when we are in the mother womb, we always praying to Krishna. But when we came in the material world, we just forgetting Krishna. So what should we do to, do the bhakti with the same intensity throughout our life?
If you eat nourishing food every day, you will have nice energy to do your work. So, satsang, sadhana, this gives us spiritual strength. It's very important. We have sincere sadhana and sincere satsang. Associating with devotees, sincerely chanting Krishna's names according to our regulations, sincerely studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Upanishad, these most powerfully blessed Vaishnava literatures. It keeps us alert and awake. And we have to live with respect in such a way, in a service attitude, so that Krishna will be pleased to appear within his names. Srila Prabhupada writes that when we're humble to take shelter of Krishna and we're really trying to serve other living beings in that spirit, then when we chant the names of Krishna, Krishna makes himself present in a very special way. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is that if we are continuing our spiritual life and if we have done such a great offense which is not good for our spiritual life, and many people seeing us he's a leader of a spiritual life and they thinking that he had done the wrong thing, then how should we continue our spiritual life?
We should learn from our lessons. When a child is learning to walk, sometimes the child falls down. But the child is not supposed to just lay there for the rest of his life. Because
Because every time a child falls down, the child learns something about what it's not supposed to do to walk. And if a child is purposely falling down, then he's never going to learn how to walk. So whatever's happened in the past, we could learn from our mistakes. And learning from our mistakes means to humble ourselves. I'm not such an advanced devotee, otherwise I wouldn't have done that. I need your shelter, Krishna. I need to become spiritually strong. I need to perform my spiritual practices more sincerely. And if we offend people, we ask forgiveness and we learn not to do those things. And if we act in an immoral way, we understand that this is the path to suffering. When we act immorally, it's sowing the seeds of suffering. We understand that. And sometimes we're already suffering. So we learn. So this is a symptom of sincerity. That whatever we've done in the past that is unfavorable, we recognize that we humble ourselves. We seek forgiveness, we seek blessings, and we sincerely try our best. Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna sees the sincerity of our intent and he gives us pure devotional service when we genuinely have a sincere intent. And that means we're really trying. Is there another question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. With regards to the quality of imbibing humility, there is a constant fear that we would be exploited or abused or trampled or taken advantage of. So because of these disturbing memories, there is a constant fear and it acts as a deterrent to cultivate this quality of humility. If one is in the devotee community, he acts in a humble way, but when he is outside of the devotee community, it is totally opposite. So, because if one cultivates this quality of humility, it is a universal quality. So, what is this humility which one should reflect everywhere and to everyone?
I guess here at Prerna, you have all been trained to laugh so much during Prerna that even if something's not funny, you're just eager to laugh at it. But humility does not mean lack of courage. Humility does not mean lack of being bold and forceful and determined. It means serving to our best capacity according to the need. But we don't take credit for ourselves. It's about pleasing Krishna. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya prays, I do not want wealth or money or fame or the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't want followers. I don't even want liberation. I just want to serve you. I want to please you, my Lord, unconditionally. That's humility. That leads to the next verse, Trinadapi Suniche Natador Ibasi Hishnanam. Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadari. Arjuna was humble as a blade of grass when he was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, because he was doing it knowing that Krishna's the doer and I'm doing everything in harmony with Krishna's will to please Krishna. And he was eager to give all credit to other people and all credit to God. That's humility. Yudhisthira Maharaj was the embodiment of humility. Even when he was the king of the world, so humility is a state of mind where we understand through our sadhana, through our satsang, through cultivating devotional qualities, that it's by the mercy of our guru, by the mercy of others, my seniors, my friends. It's by the mercy of Krishna coming through all these different forms that I am what I am. And we're eager to give credit to others. Uddhava was Krishna's best friend. But yeah, when he saw the gopis, he was thinking, they are so much better than me. He prayed to Krishna, let me just be a piece of grass in Vrindavan so the gopis will step on me with their feet. He's a prince. He's a learned scholar. He's a constant associate with Krishna. And yet, he's seeing so much good in others. He's more happy praising the good qualities of others than he is in other people praising us. Krishna tells Uddhava that a saintly person is like fire. Fire needs fuel, otherwise it goes out. Yes? So, without the fuel of Krishna's grace, we just go out. Whatever our strength, whatever our knowledge, whatever our reputation, without this fuel of Krishna's mercy, we just go out. And another analogy is like fire. Whatever praise we receive, whatever success we receive, we understand who it really belongs to. We don't become consumed by it. So humility is being bold to do our service without this false ego. Learn to appreciate others. Learn to give credit to others. And ultimately recognize that it's through Krishna's grace that we can do anything. One more question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, recently I read your book, Journey Home. I am thankful and grateful for that book that inspired me a lot. From that book, Maharaj, you have taken many decisions from your inner call. So how can one differentiate between the inner call and what the mind call? So that we can act in that situation and then we can move away. So.
We have our Guru Sadhu Shastra principle, And essentially we have to come to this stage. At the beginning we may want self-realization, we want God consciousness, we may want this higher spiritual value, and we're seeking it. And by the mercy of Krishna, we're connected to our gurus. And our gurus are speaking from the eternal scriptures. And our desires, our aspirations, and our choices, as Gaur Gopal Prabhu was saying in that video, the B and D and birth, death, and then C in the middle of choice. Our choices are in harmony with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Then we know for sure that we're making the right plans in every stage of our life. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much.
Radha Gopinath ki jai. Let us once again thank His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for his wonderful talk and question and answers by three times loudly chanting. We have a few important announcements. We like to thank all our guests who have come to for this 150th prayerna. We have with us Swati Kotak ji. We also have with us Padmashri Banade, Deputy Collector Mumbai, Mr. M.S. Venkatesh, Senior Director, Hinduja Hospital, Mr. Suresh Yadav, Assistant Director, Employee Relations, Hinduja Hospital, Dr. Mukund Taide, Vice Dean, Grand Medical College, Dr. Sadhana Taide, Additional Director of Health Service, Government of Maharashtra, and Mrs. Napol, Consulate General, Mauritius, and Mahaprabhu Dalji, Advocate High Court. Hare Krishna. So let us welcome them by three times loudly chanting. For making this special prayerna happen, we want to thank following group of devotees: Talwan based devotee, Jagannath Puri Dham based devotee, Varli devotees, Cooper JJ devotees, Godrum based devotees, for coordinating morning kitchen and coordination of the evening festival. Let us thank them also. Hari Bol. At this point, I would like to welcome all those who have come for the very first time today. Kindly rise, stand up, so we can properly welcome you. Jo aaj pehli baar Prerna Festival mein aaye hain, kripaya khade ho jaiye. Thank you all for coming. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting three times. Please take your seat. Some very special announcements for you. Those who come for the very first time today, a special seminar has been organized tomorrow and the next Sunday, and this will be at 5:30 p.m. onwards. So if you register today, a special discount is available.